Welcome to Addressing Alaskans, a program capturing community conversations in South Central Alaska. Join us each week on KSKA Anchorage as we travel to different spots throughout our community to listen to local groups gathered to discuss what matters to Alaskans. This week, education consultant Joe Mascoro. She gave the keynote address at the 2014 Stone Soup Group Parent Conference. Her talk entitled, Don't Look Now, Your Behavior is Showing, What All Adult Brains Should Know About All Children Brains, was recorded at the BP Energy Center in Anchorage on January 24th.
So this morning's keynote speaker is Joe Mascoro. She's here with us from Texas and made a long journey arriving just a few hours ago, actually.
Surprise!
So she's an independent consultant who provides training throughout the nation in areas specific to behavior and intervention practices, communication strategies, parenting skills, and programming for students who experience severe pronoun disabilities, birth through adulthood. She has over 34 years of experience in the field of education, receiving both her bachelor's and master's degree from Texas Tech University. She's a native Texan, and we'll try not to hold that against her, and residing currently in San Antonio. So we're really honored to have you here.
Thanks, Mary. Thank you. Notice she made that comment after I got here. It's like, whoa. San Antonio, anyone ever been there, heard of it, know where it's at? I heard that this morning it was 18 degrees there, so y'all need to explain that to me. I walked out of the hotel wrapped with scarf, and I mean, I was walking up for the big blizzard, and I'm like, what? It was like crazy. Yes, I think my head hit the pillow about 4 o'clock this morning, so I'm happy to be here. Thank you. I do training in behavior, communication, general ed, special ed, big ed, pick an ed, anything that has to do with behavior. If I were to say, envision a child or think of someone, a kiddo, that could really, really take you to the edge, how many could envision at least one? Put your hand up. Watch this. If I said envision an adult who took you to the edge, how many could envision? See, I finished my sentence. Everybody's like, meh. Okay, well, here's the deal. When I speak with parents, and how many of you are, you're here as a parent, you've come under the umbrella of a parent. How many of educators, related service personnel in here? How many of you are parents? Great, see, so at the end of the day, we're talking about kids, and typically our kids, and that's a very difficult thing to do. So I've resolved that. We don't talk about our children. We're going to talk about the neighbor kids. We're going to talk about the relatives' kids. So if I said, how many of you have relatives or neighbors that you've heard those children, when told to do something, don't do it, put your hand up. How many are aware of children that are relatives or neighbor kids who, when told to do their homework, don't do it? Told to get out of the bath, don't do it. Told to turn off the light, don't do it. Does that sound familiar? It's like you're in church yet, right? Well, we're going to address those particular things, and hopefully you'll leave here with some relevant strategies. Now, I don't have all the answers. I don't have miraculous cures. I don't lay claim that this is going to resolve all the issues, because managing behavior is a process. There is no one-time thing. If I stand up here and say, oh, do this and your life will be simple, not. It's hard. It's stressful. It can be painful sometimes. But at the end of the day, what choice do we have? We have to take action. So I want to make sure that the action that you're taking is actually assisting you on that journey when you're responding to particular kinds of behaviors. So before we get started, a little housekeeping for me as well. If you have a cell phone, you need to put it on off or vibration. If it is physically present, if you're holding it or looking at it and you don't have an absolute emergency, you have about 55 minutes. I'd like you to remove it completely away from your sight, not even touch it, because you're going to be okay. Now, those of you who've put it on your lap, you can move it further. You're going to be okay. You may not know this, but the technology is showing us that technology it can be our friend, but it can also be a challenge. How many have children or aware of children who have it difficult turning off a computer or an iPad? Well, the reason is the energy that's dispensed when we're looking at that and our involvement in that device has turned into an addictive quality. And we know that for a fact now because every time your cell phone beeps or bops or sings your school song, it's actually you're causing your brain to take a dopamine hit. And it's in the same place that drug addicts, alcoholics, anybody who has a type of addiction takes a hit. That's why they now have a syndrome called, let's see if I can say it right, it's called pocket vibration syndrome or something like that. You know what I'm talking about, where and you're like, and it's not you. And you're like, well, I thought I felt it or heard it. Have you ever done that? And what's awful now, if you watch TV, a lot of the commercials now, they'll have cell phones that go off. Do you grab yours in the commercial? It'll go, you know, oh, wait, it's a commercial on TV. That's embarrassing. So at any rate, I'm going to try and get you to be able to release from that just for a little bit, and we'll talk about why that happens as we go through the process. Everybody should have a handout. It's a single page. I owe a huge apology to Stone Group. I was just looking at this, and it says Stone Group instead of Stone Soup Group. So I know you're not all stones, and I know the reason behind Stone Soup, so my apologies for that. Yes, ma'am. Where are they? Do they have these somewhere, Mary? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry? Yeah, they need these as soon as possible because I'm reviewing it with them. I think they have them somewhere. Well, as they arrive, let me tell you what you're going to see, a single page. And on that single page, you're going to see words. Do you see down the left side of my column here? And those words are going to begin with a letter. And that letter is going to look vaguely familiar to you if you were at school at any point in time. How many of you remember when you had to learn the vowels? Does anybody remember when you had to learn the vowels? It's funny how things stick in our head, correct? So we're going to reference that, and I'm going to show you, because what will happen is the brain loves to do association. And as a result of that, we like to tie information to something. It creates a memory, and it allows us to think. For example, I had Ed Sullivan up here singing or presenting on the overhead before, on the overhead. Boy, did that just age me or what? On the projector. Now, some of you are old enough to remember Ed Sullivan. Some of you are not. Those of you who are able to remember Ed Sullivan, as some of that music came up, it was interesting watching you sort of detach from where you're at and focus on that because it takes us to a memory. It takes us to a place. My daughter's 23 and she knows every one of those songs because music for me takes me to a happy place. It calms me, it relaxes me, and I need that because I'm a little bit hyper. I could do a journey, like yesterday, for example. I actually got up yesterday morning and drove 160 miles to the Mexican border, presented for half a day, and then drove back another 160 miles to San Antonio, picked up my suitcase straight to the airport to get a 7:40 flight to fly here, got here at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'll go home, and people say, gosh, when you get home, are you exhausted? What do you do? Do you take a nap? And I said, typically, no, I mow the yard. It's like, I have a shirt that says, I do not have ADD, is that a squirrel? And so you're going to have to stay with me a little bit because I'll be bouncing all over the place. And so the brain loves to associate, to draw us back in. So I chose the vowel sound. So you'll forget me, forget Texas, but hopefully you'll remember your vowels. So when you're in a situation and you're frustrated, if you'll think of the vowel will take you to the word will take you to a strategy. That's my intent. All right, so that's what will happen. You're also going to have to, at some point in time, possibly speak to a partner. That would be one other body. Don't worry, this isn't a kumbaya fest, no touchy-feely getting to know you. All you're going to have to do is have a little verbal exchange. So look to your left or right, see if you can make eye contact with either one or three people so you can have a little chit-chat, all right? And what'll happen is you'll start talking, and then I'll need you to stop talking. Now, as a certified teacher, I have a lot of skills. I can get you quiet. I know how to go shh, shh, which I will not do. That is so annoying. And we spit on people, so we're not doing that. Perhaps, how many of you are teachers in here? Anybody a teacher in here? Does this sound familiar? Quiet! Use your inside voice! We're not doing that. I'm not going to find the light switch and flick lights. Shouldn't do that. That causes seizures. Stop that. What I'll say is hands up. Whatever you're doing, walking, talking, sleeping with your eyes open, put one hand in the air, no words, eyes on me. So you'll be talking loud. I'll say hands up, one hand up, no words, eyes on me. Let's practice. I want to make sure you got it. All right, so talk. Just make some noise. Talk it up. Get loud. A little louder. Come on, you can do it. A little louder. Okay, hands up.
Done.
How many of you have middle school or high school or work with middle school or high school children? Put your hand up. I know because y'all are looking at me just now going, really? Is that what the morning's about? Middle school and high school children would not do something as silly as a hands up. Be careful what you call dumb, you just did it. Here's what I know. Every day when you're in front of children, when you're around children, you have to believe. It is critical that you believe that they can learn and that something's going to happen. Your body has to have an aura. That body has to say, I believe in you, I know you can learn, and I'm going to do everything possible to keep you safe. And if you don't have that aura, there's not a program or a phrase or a thing on this planet that's going to make a difference, because the relationship must exist. And it comes from that aura. So let's talk about how we can create that. Helen Keller said it the best. A person who is severely impaired never knows his or her hidden source of strength until he is treated like a normal human being and encouraged to shape his own life. Someone needs to define for me the word normal. I don't even know what that is anymore. So the word normal, I highly recommend, remove from your vocabulary. The word inappropriate, remove from your vocabulary. Appropriate, remove from, how do we even define that anymore? I had a teacher friend last year, had a student who used profanity. Are any of you aware of neighbor children or relatives whose children use profanity? Please raise your hand. Well, this child had issue with the F word. And it was a lot of F it. So the teacher tried and tried, and that was, you know, to no avail. So then they sought out administrative assistance, and that didn't help too much either. And finally decided to call the grandmother, who was the primary caretaker, and set up a meeting. So they called Grandma and said, Grandma, we'd like to have a meeting. And she said, and I quote, what the F would you like to talk about? So my point being, every time you're telling a child rude, disrespectful, foul, and disgusting, what are you saying about their primary guardian that they go home to as a minor? So we're going to address those kinds of challenges as well as we go through this. At the end of the day, it's what do you believe? The brain loves to associate. Now, who in here is 30 or younger? Put your hand up. You're not going to know what I'm talking about. But in the old days, we had this thing called a telephone book. You actually touched it and you turned pages. And how many of you remember when you'd go through the telephone book, your brain would do the alphabet like A, B, C, D, when you're looking, remember that? Because you associated. So with this, for you to remember these strategies, I'm going to have you associate to the vowel sounds. Remember those vowel sounds? For those of you who need visual prompting, I'll put that up there as well. All right, let's see, on the count of three, I want everybody to tell me your vowels. One, two, three, hit it. Had to listen, because when I was in Utah, it was an A, E, I, O, U, and sometimes Y, and then the back somebody goes, and W, and I'm like, what? And they explained this, and somebody in California said, yeah, we did it there. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. In Texas, we stopped at Y. And then I found out about 2 years later, it wasn't even W, it was double U, like vacuum. I'm like, man, that is like too confusing for me. So for the sake of discussion, yes. W, that's why, that's right. As big as Texas is, it depends, you know, I used to think anything north of Texas was Canada. You know, because you drive, I would go see my grandma in Virginia, you'd drive for like 5 days to get out of the state of Texas, and then one day to do the rest of the United States. And so it's even regionally we have dialects. It's so funny you said that, but you're right, it's a W. Mm-hmm. Squirrel, did you see me? All right, here we go. Now, look, first letter of every word, A-E-I-O-U, sometimes Y. Here's the deal. How many of you have ever been to a training before? Anywhere, any place, put your hand up. Aren't they fun and exciting? You get all the free pens and little tote bags and all that kind of cool stuff. But here's the deal. You also get skills. And with those skills, the expectation is you go home and apply. Thus, the challenge. Where are my teachers again? Put your hands up. Do I have teachers in here? Okay, parents, I'm going to tell you something. I talk about the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is you need to know when y'all come to the meetings at school, when you leave, we talk about you. We try to be real professional. We look you in the eye. We thank you. We go, We even shake your hand, tell you thank you. But when you leave the room, we typically say, oh my God, it's genetic. Now, right about now, every professional in here is having a massive coronary going, did you just say that? I'm not done. Remember, the elephant in the room is pretty big. Parents talk about us. They sit in the meeting with every professional bone in their body and they go, And when they leave, they say things like, where did they get their certificate? Did you say they're retiring? They need to go. They need to go. We need to fly somebody else in here. I don't care what it takes. They need to go. They have issues. And you're probably right, because at the end of the day, let me clue you in, we all have issues. Teachers go home tired. You think we go home, we have perfect children? We go home, we raise our voices sometimes. And our children say things like, because they know we're educators, they'll say things like, Mom, use your inside voice. I got your inside voice. You'll never see the light of day or a treasure chest. You know, it's like, we get all crazy. We're the ones who go into public places and pull our children close and say things through our teeth. You better be good, because there are people in here I know. So at the end of the day, let's just put it all out there. If anybody disagrees with me, just let me know. But it's not that easy to be a parent great at all times, correct? So here's the deal. We're going to quit talking about each other, because at the end of the day, while we're talking and squabbling, the children are getting older, and that's not helping anybody. So let's see what we can do to bring a little calm to that table and everybody walk out with some skills. Okay, A is going to stand for anticipation. On the count of three, say anticipation, one, two, three.
Anticipation.
How many of you have a calendar, a day timer, something to keep track of your life? Yes, put your hand up. How many look at it more than once a day? Put your hand up. So what's that all about? Today is what? Someone give me the day of the week today.
Friday.
Thank you. Because I did. What is it going to be 7 days from now? Mm-hmm. How hard is that? But we look at it, we touch it, we're late. Stress during the holidays, because we've got to shop during the holidays. Really? You knew for 364 days that it was coming. Why was that stressful? It doesn't make sense to me. But do you see? We get caught up in this life journey, and it's hard. But at the end of the day, what we're going to talk about, yes, we have children with disabilities, with autism and various other, you know, ID issues and challenges and behavior issues and bipolar disorder. We can go on and on and on. But at the end of the day, here's what I do know. We must start focusing on what we do know. And what we do know is we all have a brain, yes or no?
Yes.
And that brain has very similar needs and interests. All brains want to anticipate, all brains. And yet somehow with children, we don't feel like that's an issue. You know, because we have an expectation. And usually with adults, it's two primary expectations for our children. Number one, we want right now, spontaneity. Get with the program. And if you don't think that's true, finish my sentence. You need to get in here right
now.
You need to pick up that room right
now.
You need to put those dishes in the sink right
now.
You need to open up that book right
now.
And my all-time favorite, you better get that look off your face
right now.
Okay. Newsflash. Quit telling children get that look off their face. They've never seen it. You assume a lot. We say things as adults with the best of intentions, and you'd be amazed at what comes out of our mouth that doesn't make any sense to a human brain. So here's your first bit of homework. Remove from your vocabulary the phrase right now. It's not going to happen. The brain is not that spontaneous. How many, okay, 30 or younger, all you people, anybody read a book still, like read like a book where you open up the pages? Okay, I have one in my purse. It goes with me everywhere I go. I always have a book. Have you ever noticed when we read a book and we need to stop reading? We don't just stop. We look till the end of the page. Sometimes we'll see where the end of the chapter is. Sometimes we get through the chase scene. Have you ever noticed that? How many of you have the capability to record a TV show? Have you recorded a TV show? You better. American Idol just started. Just saying. Let's say you've recorded your favorite TV show, and you're watching that show because you're catching up. Whatever it is, your favorite. And I enter the room, and I look at you as an adult brain, and I say, you need to turn that off right now. How's that working for you? And here's what's crazy. You'll give me the look. You're going to wait till you're ready to turn it off. Because when we're watching a show, we like to wait till the commercial. We like to wait till that moment happens that we can get by, and then we're going to turn it off. Yes or no?
Yes.
Tell me, explain this to me. It's recorded. Why is it so hard to turn it off right now? It's recorded. You can go back, but it's because the brain wants to know. And yet with children, turn that TV off right now. How's that working for you? Do you see? So the brain loves to anticipate. So with that said, they like internal clocks. Everybody put your hands in the air and repeat after me. Don't make me come back there. Say, it's about to happen. Happening. Almost over. Over. One more time. What's this one? About to happen. Happening. Almost over. Over. Okay, a minute ago I did this and my arm went. I have a broken clavicle right there and I'm still in therapy, so I should have been going like this. I'm trying to get my arm to go up. So if it kind of goes, it's not me crashing. I just can't get it up there. Yet, it's working. All right, so here's the deal. About to happen, happen, almost over, over. So anytime I listen to an adult have an exchange with a child, I don't care if it's a toddler, infant, big kid, little kid, I'm looking for that rhythm. Did you give them a cue? What was your about to happen, happen, almost over, over cue? So for example, turn off the TV in 3 commercials. You know, turn off the computer after 4 Angry Bird crashes, you know, or something like that. Or after, give a certain amount of time. How many use timers? Anybody use timers? Does it ring once or twice?
Once,
exactly. You're just as annoying as right now. I used timers the whole time I taught. I taught babies. I'd set the timer would go off, they'd all start to cry. And they'd hoard things. I'd go, hang on a minute, with my perky voice. 5 more minutes. I'd set the timer again. Then I started teaching those, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th grade. And the timer would go off, and they'd go, golly, we didn't get to finish. This is stupid. Hey, this stupid class. I'd go, hey, 5 more minutes. And I started teaching high school. Anybody have any high school kids? Timer would go off and they'd go like this. Because they were sleeping the whole time. And I'd go, hurry up, 5 more minutes. Then I started teaching adults. Pardon me, ma'am, we did not allow an opportunity to finish the expectation. Really? 5 more minutes, hurry up. Do you see what I'm happening? So I use 2 timers. Think about using 2 timers. The first one's to let you know the second one's coming. And you'd be surprised how that could change your life just a little bit. So A is a big deal. And it's not a kid thing. It's not an adult thing. It's a brain thing. So A stood for what? Talk to me.
Anticipation.
Anticipation. We build internal clocks. We build internal clocks. So rituals and routines are significant. And we can build those if we utilize anticipation skills. Now, another way we can do anticipation skills is with expectations. On the count of 3, everybody say expectations, 1, 2, 3.
Expectations.
Okay, so here's what we're going to talk about. First and foremost, times be a-changing. We cannot sit around anymore and talk globally to children and expect them to accept that as a valid answer or response. How many of you remember when you were children, your parents would say, and when you get older, rah, 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 you're going to, remember this? You're like, pfft. We weren't thinking past 3:30. And yet there's this big emphasis on down the road. Well, now we know because of technology, when we wire up a brain, there's a reason why they don't worry about down the road. Because that part of the brain isn't even finished yet. And until around the age of 10 or 11, that part doesn't even really start to cook up. So we need to deal with that when we get to the brain piece here in a little bit. The other thing is, in the old, I said I wasn't going to do this, but here's the deal. In the old days, let me tell you, in the old days, the rule in my hometown was you go outside and play. 30 or younger, we did this thing called go outside. And we played. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? We played with rocks and dirt and air and sticks. And we were very content. We didn't have bottled water. We had a hose. You'd run the hose and you'd learn the water like that. We didn't have fancy bicycles. We had clothespins with decks of cards. And we'd put them on our spokes and go bada 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 bada. And we thought we were cool. I didn't have adaptive devices. I had Gumby and Pokey on my handlebar. They got me anywhere I wanted to go. I didn't have safety issues, no big deal, because I had a troll doll in my pocket with orange hair and a little white doctor coat, and it kept me very safe. And then the best part was we didn't even need therapists because we had this little paper thing that we could do. And we would go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you could say, pick a number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, pick a color, BLUE, pick a number, pull it out, and it would say something like, roses are red, violets are blue, you stink, Andy doesn't like you, done. Do you see? Now it's not so easy. It's a little complicated. The other thing is, in the old days, you'd be out playing or you'd do something, and if another adult saw you who wasn't related to you, they did not hesitate to call you on the carpet. And by the time you got home, without the advantage of technology and cell phones, your parents already knew about it. They're usually standing at the top of the driveway with a fly swatter going, get on up here. Remember that, anybody? Very intentful about what we were going to do and how we're going to do it. Well, nowadays, parents parent differently, they think a little bit. There's a lot of differences going on, so you can't always be sure that that's going to occur. As a result of that, it's very important that we define behavior by environment. So if you're in the school system, you should be saying, at school, in the classroom. I'm telling you, when you call a parent, tell me if this is not true. How many times have you ever gotten the call? Your child never listens. Your child's always running amok. And they talk globally, and you're thinking, well, they don't do that at home. Remember that? You told the educator they didn't do that at home. You know what the educator did? Oh, really? They rolled their eyes, probably picked up a legal pad, wrote denial, pointed across at you. Okay, here's the deal. We alter behavior based on where we're at and who we're with. So the next time you're in a meeting and a parent or a teacher says, I don't know what to tell you, they don't do that when they're with me, your job is to go, woohoo, meeting's over, time to eat, let's celebrate. Why we see that as a negative thing, I will never know, because here's the deal. We alter behavior based on where we're at and who we're with. There's a couple men in here. Let me give you an example. There are things I can tell you about the women in this room. You ready? Brace yourself. There are women in this room who cuss. Oh, yeah. Not only do they cuss, there are women in this room who said the F word. The F word. But here's what happens. You alter behavior based on where you're at and who you're with, so you don't do it in here. And that's a good thing. We have no business comparing home and school. Totally different environments, totally different expectations, noise levels, parameters of walls, amounts of bodies around, the timing of things. So the next time you're in a meeting and an adult says, I don't know what to tell you, they'll do that with me, you celebrate that because you now have evidence of a child who alters behavior based on where they're at and who they're with. That's a brain thing. Woohoo! Celebrate! It's a great thing to have. All right? So we have to start defining behavior by environment so kids know we're doing it and adults know we're doing it. So you say at school, in the classroom, in the hallway, on the playground, at home, in this room, at this table, in this car. Define for kids. You add the layer of autism on that. They're very literal. And therefore, it's going to be crucial that you define behaviors by environments. Second thing, two-letter word, be, by. Everybody on the count of three say by. One, two, three.
By.
It's going to be your new best friend word right there, by. How many of you verbally praise your children? Please raise your hand. Even if you don't, just raise it. Make me feel better. All right. We like to say things like, good job, way to go, woohoo, we're so happy. Okay, really? Good job doing what? Do you know what a child can do in 30 seconds when you're not looking? Just about the time you turn around and go, good job? So we have to be careful with that. Teachers, we're crazy. We walk around, we go, good. We sticker and stamp kids. Good job. Way to go. Woo-hoo. We're just sticker and stamping them to death. I had my nephew, severe attention deficit, when he was in school. He came home stuck and stamped from fingertip to armpit every day. And I'd say, Shano, what'd you do? He goes, I made eye contact. I stood up. I sat down. I touched my pencil. I made my pencil touch my paper. What is that? What happened with the celebration is you did it? Where'd that go? That whole, did I say stickers and stamps were wrong? No. Did I say that? Did I say never do them again or you'll burn in hell? Did I say that? No, they're great things. But the delivery gets us in trouble. So when we walk around and we say good job, that doesn't give the child enough information. I was meeting with adults yesterday in Laredo, Texas, and they were talking about how they're adults now and they're not functioning in work environments because they're mad or they're angry or they hit or they don't know how to do their social cues. And I said, you know why? Because we have to teach that. We have to teach it. It has to make sense. So here's your homework. When you praise and you say, like, good job, I want you to remember the word by. What was the word?
By.
You're going to say, good job by Feet on the floor, eyes on the board. Good job by putting your backpack on the doorknob. Good job by putting your dirty dish in the sink. Do you hear the difference? You're going to land on the behavior they demonstrated that made you say the nicey. And when you land on that, that's what's going to imprint in their head. So after a while, you won't even use the word by. Use it now. It'll force your hand. But after a while, you'll say, hey, way to go putting your clothes in the dirty hamper. Good job closing the door and putting on your seatbelt when we got in the car. Do you hear the difference? Land on the behavior. That's what's going to stick in your head. So we're going to use that to clarify. And then I want you to use directives of three. Let's back up. Anticipation. What are the two words RN that I said get out of your vocabulary? Right now. All right, so we know we're going to get rid of that one. How many of you ever told your children, you need to get in there and pick up your room right now? Does that sound familiar? Yes or no? You need to get in there and do your homework right now. Sound familiar? Yes or no? Okay, now let's take it apart. What's the back end you're going to get rid of? Right now. We don't do spontaneity. Now let's go to the front end. Get in there and pick up your room. If you have a child with autism, they're sitting there thinking, how am I going to pick up that room? Watch when you take the word by. Pick up the room. By pick up your room, I mean hang your clothes in the closet. Put your shoes under the bed, take your dirty clothes and put them in the hamper. Did you hear the difference? What I clustered in? Threes. By to clarify. You need to get to work. Not right now. You need to get to work by picking up your pencil, facing forward, writing your name at the in the blank. Now, here's the trick. Did I say it would work? Mm-mm. Because y'all got the look. Well, that ain't going to make them do it. Did I stand up here and say they were going to do it? That wasn't even part of my discussion. But here's the deal. Let me ask you this. How's no don't stop working for you? Stop it. Cut it out. What'd I tell you? Because what happens is we have what was called a brain. Remember the brain? We know we all have one, and our brains record. Your brain has been recording or learning since you were in your biological mother's womb way back third trimester. Think back. It was your first apartment. Remember? Floating around. You were distinguishing voices, you were hearing sounds, you came into this world, and your brain continues to learn. It just absorbs information from everything around it. It records. Then what the brain does is it plays back. Everybody thinks children now are smarter and wiser and more sophisticated, and they're doing things they're not supposed to do that we never did as children. They're not smarter. Here's a brain when I was a child. Do, 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 do. Here's a brain today. Do, 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 do. Same brain. It just has more in it today to play back to you. So I tell people, quit calling police on four-year-olds. We have that, you know, in the States. Like, you know, four-year-old comes in with, you know, a picnic knife. Oh, my God! Terrorist attack! And they arrest them and cuff them and haul them away. They're four. It's a four-year-old brain. Even a 10-year-old brain. I tell junior high and high school teachers, I don't care if those kids have more kids than you, drink more than you, have sex more than you. I don't care what those kids are doing right now. That is still a kid brain. And that activity doesn't accelerate how that brain is able to learn because we have to deal with something called brain development. And we'll talk about that little piece. It's kind of exciting. So for now, what I want you to know is you focus on clarity. Clarity is going to be huge. So what's a two-letter word that begins with a B?
By.
By. What's how many directives?
Three.
What's an RN word you're going to lose? There we go. Okay, now we're going to talk about the individual brain.
You are listening to Addressing Alaskans with education consultant Jo Mascoro. Her keynote address entitled, Don't Look Now, Your Behavior is Showing, What All Adult Brains Should Know About All Children Brains, was recorded at the Stone Soup Group Parent Conference on January 24th.
On the count of three, say individual brain. One, two, three. Okay, very, very quickly. I'm just going to go through this really, really fast. I need everybody to pay attention. This is significant. Irma Gerd. What is this?
Ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. The story you're about to see is true.
Yes, it is.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Okay, that's just for effect. When you have muffins in the morning, you got to do something for effect. Okay, here's the deal. Everybody cup your hands really quick. Cup your hands. Look, everybody cup hands. Okay, you could be holding your brain. It's about that big. Shake it. About the consistency of a good jello mold. Okay, ladies only, hold your brain. Men, put yours down. Put it down. Put it down. Put them down. Okay, when we hit the age of 10 to 11, our brains achieved an adult mass of about 2 pounds, 5/8 ounces. So our brain now, what it weighs now, we achieved that weight right around the age of 10 to 11. What was the age? Okay, men hold your brains. Okay, I saw that earlier. You just make me laugh. He's like, I had a coach who did this. Actually, he did it like this, and he fell out of his chair because he was so overwhelmed by his mass. And I said, but actually, there's some truth to that. There's some truth to that because the male brain is actually a little bit bigger than a female brain typically, and it comes in at 10 to 11, around 3 pounds. So technically, you are correct. The brain is a little bit bigger, but due to this discussion, size doesn't matter. Sorry. Free yourself. You're welcome. Now, what we're going to talk about is three primary areas. One's called myelination. On the count of three, say myelination.
Myelination.
Amygdala. And frontal lobe. Okay, that name change thing. Are there any medical people in here? People with medical backgrounds, doctors? Okay, please don't be angry with me. I basically changed the name of a few things, only because I need you to remember. It's for the sake of recall, all right? Not to hurt anybody's feelings. If you think back when you were in school, we had four primary lobes. We had the frontal, the parietal, the temporal, and the occipital lobe. Does that ring a bell to anybody? Don't worry about it. We're not going to talk about those. We're really going to talk about the frontal lobe of the brain. The frontal lobe of the brain. Without having any major knowledge, if I said on the count of three, point to the frontal part of your brain, where might you point? One, two, three, show me. Okay, most of you very rapidly did this. Some of you panicked and said, Ermagerd, I'm not sure where to go. And you waited for peer cueing, and then you did this, which is okay. But those of you who are very spontaneous, how did you know to go here? That's my point. I've renamed the lobes. Everybody put your hands in the air and repeat after me. Bacal, sidle, topple, frontal. For the sake of discussion, we will refer to the bacal, sidle, topple, frontal. Now, watch this. 10 years from now, I can run into you and say, hey, where's the bacal part of your brain? Where are you going to point? Done. You can even spell it. All right, so for the sake of discussion, myelination is pretty significant. What happens with myelination is it's white matter. It's the white matter of your brain and sort of sticks to your... So if my hands are neurons, and these are dendrites, neuron cell, axon. They don't touch each other, but this axon has to be wrapped. And it's wrapped in white matter. It makes like a insulation for this neuron to talk really fast to this one. You with me so far? Yes or no? Okay, now as a result of that, if this isn't on there well, it doesn't stick, or if it's gone, then this is going to have a hard time talking to this one. Yes? So how do you know that something's myelinated? Well, one of the kind of... I'm trying to simplify this for the sake of going quickly, but basically if you're doing something like talking or walking or moving, you can pretty much know that that part of your brain is myelinated. But if you think about it, when we're born, we don't like run out of the womb talking. That'd be creepy. Can you imagine if we ran out and go, hey, I'm here, what'd you name me, let's eat? It's like creepy. Now, those parts of the brain aren't myelinated yet. So what happens is, if you look at diseases like MS or lupus, those kinds of diseases, when the white matter sloughs off, you'll hear people say they had good days, bad days. They go for medication, for treatment. I have friends that have MS, and they go and they have some kind of treatment, and it helps with their mobility. Well, what happened was, when this sloughed off, and if it was the part of the brain that affected mobility, then they have a rougher time moving. They have it medicated or whatever, they go through some treatments, and then it's able to shore that up a bit. Then there are diseases like Lou Gehrig's disease or Alzheimer's that are terminal. When the white matter comes off, eventually it stays off. So white matter is a pretty big deal. And you've got it, it's happening all over your brain, but at the same time you have this thing happening from the back to the front, which basically tells us that the last part of the brain to finish is therefore the front. So you got to know what's going on in there. Meanwhile, back on the farm, it's passing something called the amygdala. On the count of three, say amygdala, one, two, three. Okay, I changed that name too. Clearly that says Amy Gadala, right? Okay, actually it's Greek. It's Greek for the word almond, like the nut. And I've added the word screaming to it. So everybody take your hands, go like this, turn like this, put them by your ears, go like this. Don't do this to anybody. This is visual imagery. I've put it in your head. It needs to stay where? In your head. When someone's upset, angry, happy, joyous, any kind of high intensity emotions, the amygdala has turned on. That's why I'm doing this, because if you took your brain and split it in half, you'd sort of see it actually looks like a slither of an almond. I guess we're kind of all nuts, huh? I don't know. So it's kind of in there, and it's kind of in the, if you took your pointer fingers, you went kind of the back of your ears, through your sidles, you would find your amygdala. Now, why is that so important for kids? Because Kids primarily reason and operate and think through the emotional part of the brain. That's why everything's drama. They're looking at me. They touch me. They have my pencil. You have kids. I want my pillow. Here's one. I don't want that one. You ever had that? Because everything's emotion. Now, how many of you can remember being emotional? All right, think about this. Your mad's in there too. Who in here's ever been mad? Let's talk about mad for a minute. All right, okay, I'm going to talk about madness. I've been mad. I have levels of madness. I have like pity party mad. Anybody ever been pity party mad? I have pity party mad. I have aggressive kind of mad. You ever had that? And then I have like old lady mad. Because when you reach a certain age, you can just be mad and you don't even know why. You're just mad. And you need to accept it. Get past it. All right? So I have ways to get my mad out. If it's pity party mad, music, R&B. I turn on R&B. Those of you 30 or younger, I go home. I clean with all my vacuum cleaner attachments. And I play my vinyl, which is like a big CD. And I play that. And it's usually Motown or something. And it takes me to a happy place. If I'm like, ugh, kind of mad, I have power tools for my yard. I mean, I have the aggressive edger that when it hits the curb, it sparks. And I wear all black and stuff blows up and sticks on me like a ninja warrior. And I just go out there and I use my power. I have even special extension cords because the power tools are so powerful, it'll blow a traditional extension cord. And that helps me get my mad out. So given that, I want you to raise your hand, tell me what you do to get your mad out. Think about it. What do you do? What gets you out of that mood? Raise your hand, come on, play like I'm Oprah. Yes.
Exercise.
Swat mosquitoes. Yes, you can do that in Texas. Come on, talk to me. Yes.
I actually go walk.
Walk, yes. Come on, talk to me. Yes.
I'm slightly insane. I grab a broomstick and beat my mattress.
Yes. No, that's fabulous. I had a lady in Utah slam cabinet doors. She goes, I just slam them. She goes, I just slam them like that. And I said, well, you slam like, I kept her going for like 10 minutes. Slam them like that? She goes, I slam them like that. She was so funny. Okay, what do you do? Come on, talk to me. What do y'all do? Anybody cook? Anybody eat? Anybody watch movies? Anybody? It could happen. Come on, what else? What else? Come on, one more. Yes. Type like a mad woman. Shooting. There you go. What else? Okay, you know you're in Alaska when the van driver is bringing you to the residence inn at 2:30 in the morning. He goes, keep your eyes open. There was a moose here the other day. See, at home, we have roadkill. We have possums, we have skunks, we have deer, we even have boar hogs. But I love it. Look for the giant moose walking down the street. I mean, that was just hysterical to me. Squirrel, I'm back. Okay, all of these things that you mentioned to get your mad out, did you notice that not one of you said, go into a room that's all stripped down and think about what you did? Isn't that interesting that our expectation is children go ponder evil and yet we'll go out and do fun things to release our anger? If we share for kids to do fun things, everybody says we're reinforcing their behavior, which basically means we've all reinforced our behavior.
Actually, I voiced my opinion.
What's that? Yeah?
I voiced my opinion, and so I was told the other day that I shouldn't have done that.
You need to zip it, lock it, and put it in your pocket. That's what they say. Okay, now here's what's going on. It's an amygdala. So here's what's happened. I want you to think about this. We can talk about anger all day long, and there's lots of reasons people get mad, lots of reasons. How many times have you ever heard, you know, I could start over here and say, tell me what made you angry, and we wouldn't get through 5 or 10 people, and y'all, you know what you'd be thinking over here? You'd be thinking, oh, that's nothing. Wait till they hear mine, because we want to one-up your madness. And if you say one like mine, I'm going to change mine really quick so mine sounds much more dramatic than yours. We one-up madness. Have you ever noticed that? So here's the deal. We can talk all day long about the whys, and we're not going to get there because there's lots of reasons. Here's what else. My brain, I had a near head-on collision a couple years ago, 2010, in Panhandle, Texas, population 7. No, it's like little. One blinking light. I go all over the world, and I almost get killed in Panhandle, Texas. When a little elderly couple pulled in front of me, had a near head-on collision, had to get a total hip replacement. When I saw that car coming at me, my brain released chemistry through my amygdala. That chemistry could equal the same amount of chemistry that a child's brain releases because somebody's looking at them. You see what I'm saying? So what happens is we can't measure madness. So let's focus on what we do know. Let's say you're livid mad. I walk in the room. I've never met you in my life. I don't know anything about you, but I know you got a brain, and I know what you're not thinking. I walk in the room, you look at me, your brain doesn't say, oh, it's Joe, come close, that'll make me feel better. Wow, get close, I'm getting calm. Wow, get really close, I'm so calm I can't hardly stand it. Why don't you touch me? You ever been touched when you're mad? That's when we teeth talk. Get your hands off me. But I'm here for you, so I say, you need to calm down. When have you ever said to another human being or had said to you, you need to calm down, and your body went, better. So what you just learned in 5 seconds, proximity does not decrease behavior, it increases. Saying calm down, put it with your right now word, get it off your vocabulary because it'll increase. Because at the end of the day, when the amygdala is stimulated, the learning cortex will shut off. It literally shuts off. So if you're quoting consequences, this could be a challenge. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Life is good. Then all of a sudden, they're touching me, they took my pencil, they're looking at me, they took the remote, they won't leave me alone, and all of a sudden you've got that amygdala turned on. What you don't want to do is quote the consequences. They're not listening. And as fast as it comes, it can disappear. Who's ever seen a toddler crying so hard they don't breathe? You ever notice that? And then you bring a juice box and they're like, ah! You ever seen that? Because you distracted and disengaged them from the madness. You didn't try and, when you try and seek compliance during the course of anger, it won't happen. It'll make things worse. Because of the frontal lobe. We all have one, and that part of the brain technically doesn't start to fire up till around the age of 10 or 11. So all of you who have children 10 or 11, younger than that, and you're, you know, moving clothespins and stickers and stamps and contracts, those aren't bad things, but they're learning through ritual and routine right now, not because their brain gives a flip. You're much more involved if you're teaching them what to do instead so they don't get in trouble, which we'll get in later today. So here's the deal. All those of you that are 30 or younger, check it out. You might not even be myelinated yet. If anybody gave you a hard time about your choices or decisions, you could call them at break and say, Mom, Dad, I wasn't fully myelinated yet. Anybody divorced today, you know, married 18, divorced by 21 because you thought you grew apart? You woke up one day and went, uh-oh, because you're myelinated. My daughter called me the other day, Mom, I've got 3 roommates and none of them have myelinated yet. It's very stressful because now she's realizing why I emphasized why you should clean a house, keep up a kitchen, buy your groceries, take care of your bills. Do you see? It's fascinating to see. So at the end of the day, we think through frontal lobe and children think through the amygdala. O is for ownership. Everybody say ownership. Okay, let's go back to that praise. I want you to practice a few things. No, I want you to take out of your vocabulary. If you, I will. If you don't, I will. Get that out of your vocabulary. If you do, if you don't finish your work, I'm not going to let you. If you don't put that away, I'm going to take that away. Did you hear that? Then the kids say we're mean and we're picking on them. We are, because we told them we were going to do it. How many of you have ever sent a child to your room? Put your hand up. How many ever taken something away? Put your hand up. How many have ever they've lost privileges? Put your hand up. Okay, quit raising your hand. When they got sent to that room, what made that happen? They did something. When they lost privileges, what made that happen? They did something. Why are you taking credit? So you're going to change your speech. You're going to, instead of saying, if you, I will, you're going to describe behavior tells me. Instead of saying, if you don't pick up your room, I'm not going to let you use the computer. Watch this. Not picking up your room tells me you don't want to use the computer. Leaving it on the floor tells me you don't want it anymore. Not doing your homework tells me you don't want to go to your friend's house. Now that sounds all negative, and we can do it when we're perky. Doing your homework tells me you want to go to your friend's house. You know, making your bed tells me that you want to use the computer. Going to bed tonight on time tells me you want to stay up late tomorrow to watch TV. Do you hear the difference? Describe behavior tells me. Describe, and then when they say, I didn't say that, and they say, when as adults we want to say, so sad, too bad, you should have thought of that before. You know how we want to kind of go, rub their nose in it? No. When they say, I didn't say that, then you say, then show me by putting your clothes in the dirty hamper. Then show me by hands down. Then show me by walk with me. Then show me, do you hear the difference? You're always landing on the behavior you want to imprint in their brain. Do not compare your children if you have more than one child. Do not compare kids. Their number one competition should be themselves. Show me your thumbs. The capacity to learn is as individualized as thumbprints. 6.4 billion people on this planet, Nobody has the same thumbprint. Don't tell me that child can't learn. Ownership is going to come from us when we model, because at the end of the day, we have to understand. We have to understand a few things. Let's say you don't remember anything I told you. When a child's upset, rather than quoting consequences at that moment, validate emotion. Hitting says you're mad. Crying says you're sad. Running says you want to get away. And then end that with, I know the feeling. No, don't do that. Just kidding. Just validate emotions. If you have to do something in the moment, validate the emotion. That in and of itself could make a difference with the child. Instead of saying their name, like John. John, you're being, John, you're mean. John, you're rude. John, you say, John, when you hit, hitting's mean. When you said the F word is disrespectful. Do you hear the difference? You pull it away. You separate the child from that behavior. Because at the end of the day, the only person you have control over is who? Talk to me. That's it. We're role models. And here's at the end of the day, we're killing our neurons. Stress kills neurons. And your telomeres, which makes you go old. So you need to go home and look at your kids and go, think in your head, I'm not killing my neurons over you. All right? I need you to think about that. Not kill your neurons over you. Albert Einstein said it the best. Education is what remains when we forget everything we learned in school. It's about what we teach, y'all. We must teach. They're not going to learn through osmosis. They're not going to just soak it up through their veins. We have to actually model and teach the things because of that fact that we're a model. Think of this in terms of children. Y'all need a theme song. Think in terms of kids.
Making a way in the world today takes everything you've got.
It's tough to be a kid.
Taking a break from
right?
All your worries sure would help a lot.
And not deal with the stress of family or school.
Wouldn't you like to get away?
And be home or at school where they want you there. Instead of, hey you, cut it out. We must continue to love them. True, we're all wacko. Their children one time, adults forever. So as you formulate questions or whatever, I'm here all day. Feel free to corner me or whatever, and I'll hear the rest of the day for other presentations. Thank you for your time. Thank you. I want you to remember this is a pretty special opportunity to be here, and despite the fact the sun's just coming out, you need to remember a few things. You remember? Thank you.
You've been listening to Addressing Alaskans with education consultant Joe Mascoro. She gave the keynote address at the 2014 Stone Soup Group Parent Conference in Anchorage. Don't look now, your behavior is showing what all adult brains should know about all children's brains was recorded on January 24th, 2014. Addressing Alaskans is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The music is by Patrick Lee. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, just go to alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page. Learn more about Addressing Alaskans and listen online anytime at alaskapublic.org. For KSKA, I'm Kristen Platt. Thanks for listening.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.